The way the Lord works is sometimes a little bit different. And today, he reminded me of what he had showed me this past week. And it came back, and I kept saying, God, what do you want? So he reminded me of what he kept showing me. And so if you will declare with me, say, Lord, I have ears that hear.
Lord, I have ears that hear.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have a heart that perceives.
I have a heart that perceives.
And understands.
And understands.
That this message is for me.
That this
message
is for me.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to tell you that one of the days this week, that I was looking to him, and I had a dream, and he gave me a dream last week concerning what he wanted me to talk about, and I just said, Lord, if you want me to talk about this, you got to confirm it. And in the dream, I'm seeing myself, and I see like a large panel, and it looks like a big piece of paper. And I'm signing my name, but it's not Kim Bergeron. It's Jesus Christ. And I also see other people that are kind of given the pencil or the pen, because I can't really focus on that part, but they're refusing. And I thought, Lord, this is so weird. And so I got up and I wrote it down. And as I wrote it down, I said, Lord, why are they refusing? And what came in almost immediately is power of attorney. I was given power of attorney at one time in my life when my father was very ill. He had hardening of the arteries of the brain and had been unable to function, in and out of hospitals, etc., psychiatric wards, you name it. And the Holy Spirit was reminding me that it was a season that was very, very difficult in my life. Because my dad had lost his ability to function. And his nature, obviously, was no longer his. He was actually doing things that were not right. Multiples of levels. And as it increased and it got worse and worse, I had to finally make a decision to seek an attorney and get help. And one of the things that we had to do was to go against his choices. And even if his choices were ungodly, it still didn't make the season very comfortable. So I just kind of rested with that, and a few days later, he reminded me that there was a vision. It came through Peggy. There was a chair, and the chair disappeared. It was in the middle of the carpet. And then a crown was remaining, which was kind of odd. And then, because I questioned the Lord, don't understand. The vision came January 19th this year. To Linda. And it was relating to Peggy's vision. So I want you to just close your eyes and listen to these words. Because what it does is it gives discernment about the vision and why the chair disappeared and the purposes of God unfolding for this house of prayer. The vision was centered on the throne and the crown. A throne denotes authority. A crown denotes sovereignty. We praise Jesus as our Lord of Lords by yielding to him our lives and our hearts in love and obedience to his authority. We worship Jesus as our King of Kings and by our acknowledgement of his sovereign power in our lives and the privilege to serve in his kingdom. Jesus is our King. He is sovereign and has all power and all authority. We have been made kings and priests in his kingdom, yet our power and authority is not our own, but is delivered through us by the Holy Spirit. The crown remained, even though the throne chair disappeared, because sovereignty is over authority. In God's kingdom, we have been given power and authority in his name. But Jesus has royal supremacy over us. Jesus has royal supremacy over us. You say, what has that got to do with the apples that we're facing today? When Jesus gives you a dream, he means to speak to you. How many know the enemy can give you a dream?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So there's a plan that the enemy has. His plan is to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. And yours. God also has a plan. It's to bless. It's to open you up to a higher understanding of who you are. And what his plan is to bless and heal and deliver you into an eternal kingdom and to be with him forever and ever. Under his authority. But there's a day that comes when he decides that it's time for you to go a little higher. And sometimes we justify it. And other times we declare ourselves unworthy or incapable of doing and being what he's called us to be. I had that problem. Many, many years ago, when he began to push my buttons about that I was a priest, boy, it didn't fit my Catholic background. Now, I can tell you that as far as having the word spoken that I was a priest, it went back to when I was like 5 years old. You see, I was named after my uncle, who was a Roman Catholic priest. He was my biological mother's uncle, and they had a great relationship. But when he found out that she was pregnant again, from her lips, he laughed because she was 45 years old. And she was very, very sick. That was a few months into her pregnancy with me. September, he came to visit, and he realized that her body was a dead giveaway for a pregnant woman. So he had to apologize to her because he had laughed at her and rejected. That's when the dedication was made that I was to be given away. So I was born in November, but given away in an agreement with the pastor of the church. And that agreement was made between my great uncle, my biological father, and my biological mother. Now you say, what has that got to do with apples? Well, because I was purposed to become a priest. That's why I was given his name. And I was to carry the ball. At around 5 or 6 years old, even though I was not living in that house, my aunt, who was a Roman Catholic nun, made me a priestly outfit and gave it to me when I visited with her. And I remember it. Whenever you see some of these garments that the Catholic priests wear, even when I was that high, I had one of those. When my cousins would come over to my house, many times when I was 10, 11, 12, we didn't play house, we played church. Because you see, my other aunt had purchased with me some little candelabras, a little tiny chalice, etc., and it was set up in my bedroom on one of the dressers. So that was my altar. And I was the priest. Okay. Fast forward now. 1990. I think it's 3 or 4. Not sure of the numbers. I'd have to go back in my notes. The Holy Spirit says, you're to buy a white robe. And I didn't want to do it. I argued with the Lord. I am not wasting money. I don't need a robe. I know who I am in Christ. I just don't want no robe. You see, because of the laughter and the persecution of the child, I rejected it. When I found that I couldn't manage without a wife, I was 16 years old when I met my bride. She walked through the door and I knew that she would be the one that I would marry. And 3 years later, I did marry her. And she was 3 years older than me. So now that priesthood, as far as I was concerned, was gone. I had no desire to go to no cemetery, not cemetery, seminary. That's a joke now, come on. Those who go to seminary, they do die. They die to their flesh. And that wasn't interested. It wasn't God's plan. But those words of priesthood were in my heart. So now, the Holy Ghost is on my case. I've given you a commission. Go and purchase a white garment. He's to be all the way down to the floor. Well, now, again, I argued. How many know you can fight God for quite a while? Until he tightens up and tightens up in your thought patterns until it is so strong that you can't stop. So I'm in Chicopee. I am going to do an errand, and there's the Catholic open window. Store at the corner of the main part of the town. And I am pressed to go in just to keep an eye on what's in there. I had been in there before, but never looking at robes, looking for books, because it was also a gift shop. And my stomach is churning. And I finally said, well, I'll go into the back area. And I did look at the robes. And I felt the presence of God. How many know when you know that you know that you know My God, I'm in the right place. So I'm leafing through, and I looked at the tags, and that was a dead giveaway. No way. I can't do this. First of all, I ain't got the money. So I got all kinds of excuses. So several days later, somebody brings a new CD to a service that we're having on a Tuesday. And they asked if I could put their particular CD in the machine so we could listen to this particular new CD that had just come out. And so I came out of my office. This was in the intercessor's room. And one of the ladies comes up to me and she says, Kim, I need to anoint you today. And I want to run the other way because this lady is got something up her sleeve, but you know, I just don't know what it is, but there's an apprehension. So she takes the oil and I receive the blessing and she starts declaring that I see you wearing a white robe. And I wanted to kick her. Because the war was still on. To make a long story short, the CD continues to play. About the third song in, it had a refrain. You are wearing white garments down to the floor because they're mine for you. For my priesthood is within you. And you need to release it. And now, I mean, I burst. I'm on the floor, and you know the results. I mean, I'm weeping my eyes out, and they're giving me Kleenex. That's no help. As far as I was concerned, I wanted to run away. Finally, I'm driving home, and my mom says, "What was that all about?" You got to remember, Mom was not fluent too much in English, but she heard and understood enough. So she says, what's this white garment that I heard? So now here comes my confession. Mom, it's $160, I think it was, or $130. I don't remember what the number was. She says, well, I'll buy it for you. It'll be your Christmas present. And your birthday. I don't want it, Mom. Why? Because I didn't want anybody to laugh at me. So I finally broke down and did go and buy it. Mom reimbursed me the money. And it stayed in my office for about 3.5 months. Because I refused to even look at it. Why? Because the soul was fighting the spirit. My hands were on my knees. Car was still driving. Your spirit man can keep on going when your soul saying, no way, I'm not going to do this. But your spirit man will be pressed of God to do things that you don't find comfy, but they are God working through you. And your priesthood will develop, even if you fight it. Finally, we were having a feast celebration of some kind. I believe it was Passover. And the Holy Spirit, that day, I'm up in the main sanctuary. And we're worshiping the Lord, and everybody's, the worship is awesome. I can tell you that day, the anointing and the Holy Spirit was having a party with all the musicians, and the Holy Spirit says, now squeak into your office and put on the robe and come back out. Have you any ideas that when I put it on, I was so heated up by the fire of God that every part of me was full of perspiration? And I put it on, and that's when I finally broke down and said, okay, God, I'll do it. But I also can tell you that he gave me the grace to carry it out. If it wouldn't have been for his grace, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I want you to close your eyes right now. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Show me in your word.
Show me in your word.
Confirm your plan to me.
Confirm your plan to me.
That the authority that I have.
That the authority that I have.
Is in Christ Jesus himself.
Is in Christ Jesus himself.
And he gives it to each of us.
And he gives it to each of us.
As we developed our priestly garments. Because they are spiritual at the beginning.
But they will gain power and authority.
As we relinquish our thoughts.
And our self-rejection.
And to declare boldly.
That we are kings and priests.
Unto the Most High God.
We are serving him.
At the beginning on a part-time basis.
But eventually,
it moves into full-time.
So give us the grace we need.
Not to be afraid of the future.
But to declare
with boldness
whatever I bind on earth
will be bound in heaven.
Whatever I declare
will be
a
reality.
And I am a born again.
Spirit-filled,
priest and king,
under the authority of the King of Kings,
and the High Priest of Heaven,
which is Jesus Christ himself.
That's my freedom.
In Jesus' name,
I pray.